Welcome to another Buzz Marketing for Technology podcast. I'm your host, Paul Dunay, publisher of the blog, and today I'm speaking with Lois Kelly, author of Beyond Buzz, The Next Generation of Word-of-Mouth Marketing. So, Lois, I really enjoyed the book quite a bit. I think it's had a profound impact on me and the way that I think about some of the marketing things that I'm doing on a daily basis. And, you know, I'll admit it. I want my sales reps to make more calls. So how do I give them something, you know, interesting to talk about? What's the status there?
I think customers are looking for advice and insights in something they don't know. So, you know, they're stuck in their world. And when they're talking to a company like yours or your sales reps, they're like looking at you as a source of all kinds of advice and ideas because you're talking to other people like them all the time. So they just assume if you're a really smart company that you know more than they do, and they want you to share those ideas. So, I mean, I think most companies have so much advice, perspectives on what's going on. They see places where customers, other customers are making mistakes. You know, they're seeing obstacles that everybody is facing and have ideas on how you could possibly get around those obstacles. That stuff is so, people love talking about that.
Right. But what's really poignant about your book is that they so often don't harness it, right? It's locked up on someone's hard drive or it's in their mind or what have you. But when it comes to the marketing department, it's standard marketing collateral, you know, completely controlled conversations. With the wave of what's happening with Web 2.0, I think this is really relevant because, you know, not only are we struggling with these new tools and how to embrace this open source content, but then what do we fill down that channel? And that needs to be some form of a conversation.
Right, or conversation starters.
Correct.
That, you know, that link back to your business.
Right.
You know, it's so interesting, too. There was a study, the Keller Faye study, that came out a couple of days ago. And they looked at how businesses make business decisions,
mm-hmm.
and still 39% are from talking with sales reps. That's huge.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have to, you know, help the sales reps be more successful. And the fact of the matter is, if marketing doesn't help the sales reps, they're just going to go out and find other things they think are interesting, or they're going to spend time finding those ideas instead of actually being with the customer.
Right. And to that end, you know, first there's no collateral, and then, whoa, there's tons of collateral, right? And then it's, what do I do with this collateral? And I don't know what to do with it, and I don't have time to read every 12-page paper. I know when I was in sales, in professional services sales, I wanted, I'd take anything I read in the newspaper in the morning. Hey, that reminds me of Jim. Hey, Jim, take a look at this. This is, you know, really relevant to you guys, and, you know, maybe we can help you with something like that. And I get a call from Jim. What do you mean? And I'd say, I'm coming in next week. Give me a half hour. I'll talk to you about it. I had no idea what I meant. You know, but now that I had him interested, at least I could figure out what I meant.
Right. And also, and it's a jump start, what did he find interesting? And what does that mean?
That's true. That's true.
You know, so if he gets, in sort of all the sales training, all of our sales reps go through, you know, it's all about, you know, getting at the customer needs. And I think what's missing in that sales training is, well, How do you jumpstart that versus saying, so Dick, what problems are you having today?
Yeah.
I mean, who talks like
are
that?
Are you having any stay awake issues, Jim? Excellent. Okay, so a little bit different, but along the same kind of lines. You know, I loved one of your quotes in the book that unlike buzz marketing, which by the way, coincidentally, is the title of my blog, conversational marketing helps people make sense of ideas through two-way dialogue. Often short-term buzz leads to business dead end, and I agree with that statement, unfortunately. You know, do you want to expound upon that a little bit?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, we've sort of fallen into our society. We have to get some buzz going.
Yeah.
But, you know, buzz is sort of, it's good for impulse buys, you know, low-risk kind of things, and it makes you aware of things. You know, like what movie are you going to see, what restaurant are you going to go to. You know, maybe we should check out going to Estonia on vacation. But it's not for business to business. So I think it's really good with awareness, getting noticed, you know, sort of a rush. Whereas what we really need to do is sort of make meaning, which is helping people make sense of information, especially when people, you know, it's a complex decision, it's a high-risk decision, you know, they're going to spend more than, you know, $100 on the decision. People want to be able to talk about it and talk about many aspects of it so it makes sense to them.
Definitely.
So that's, I mean, that's the difference. It's really a reason. It's both, I think, buzz is very sort of emotional.
Yeah.
You know, sort of catches, and I think really business decisions, it's both emotional and rational.
Well, like buzz, the definition of the word or what's inferred in the word is that it's a short-lived type of scenario, right? It is buzz marketing. It's getting the buzz going, right? And I like what you said, and unfortunately I got to agree with it and potentially have to rename my blog, right? Is buzz is flat out wrong. This is a quote from the book. For complex, expensive B2B products and services, which could never be considered cool.
Right?
And unfortunately, I kind of do some of that. And I think most of us kind of do that as well. But I think I don't think we do it maliciously. I think we do it because we think that's what we need to be doing as marketers, is creating some sort of buzz around this, you know, new technology solution around outsourcing, you know, something like that. And how does that, you know, really translate into dollars? It could potentially be just the wrong direction.
Right. So, I mean, buzz gets awareness. So part of that's not bad, to get people aware of something.
Right.
But then what? You know, then what's the next step? And I think traditionally marketers, if they've gotten a lot of buzz and there are ways to measure buzz, they think that's it. Good. I'm done. But, you know, if people are aware, but then they want to know more. They, you know, they want to interact with you. They want to trust you. You know, people aren't going to make a complex decision based on what they, you know, read an ad or, you know, even some basic buzz word of mouth marketing. Then they want to sit down and have a conversation, because it's too risky if they don't trust, you know, the company that they're buying from.
Sure. Of course. So, again, one of the best ways to sort of start that trust, and again, you know, pulling from the book, was to have a POV. And I love the fact that you drummed in, you know, to the reader, do you have a POV, and, you know, what attributes make a good POV and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, a point of view, I mean, the great thing about a point of view is that it exists in every organization. You know, and it's your belief or your perspective about, you know, the category, about the product, what's going on in the industry. And, you know, if you have a point of view, you know, the point of view is, people say, that's really interesting. Can you tell me more about that? And it's usually something unexpected. They hadn't really thought about, you know, the problem or the issue in that way. It sort of sticks with them. It's memorable. So when they go back and talk to their colleagues, they say, you know, I had a meeting with Paul and his folks, and you know what they said? You know, they said, you know, their take on what the real problem in the industry is this.
Mm-hmm.
So it lasts with them, and it gets people talking. Obviously, it has to be memorable, and it has to be relevant. You know, it has to really address what are the issues that are going on that are sort of top of mind with people.
Right.
But it can't be the same old stuff. You know, I see too many companies, and they see their competitors start talking about something, so they say, well, I better run out and talk, you know, desktop virtualization, the next big thing. But to the fourth person with that point of view, it's really not a very good point of view.
Definitely. And what's lovely is you kind of give some questions to use, you know, to answer, to be sure that you're coming up with a good POV, or you're engaging in a good conversation, or you're, you know, creating marketing material that has these questions within it.
Mm-hmm.
I've started to use some of them. In fact, you know, yesterday I was doing a podcast with an internal podcast for a piece of thought leadership, and I said, you know, listen, I really don't think our podcast should be advertorial-ish, as in, oh, Sam, why don't you tell us a little bit more about outsourcing? Oh, glad you asked that question. Thank you for saying that. And let me tell you, know, and then it becomes like an advertorial, right? So I started asking him questions directly from the book, you know, and I laid one on him, which was the, you know, what three words would you use to describe your experience with X, right? Which was a direct quote from your book, to try. And he stumbled for a second, and then said, okay, I want to tell you that I think it's simplicity, flexibility, and, you know, something else, you know, manageability. And I was like, wow, that's cool. You know, and then he went on to explain. He's like, it's simple because it does these things, and it's flexible because it does this. And that's like, I couldn't even stop him at that point. And I was just very pleased that it was a very different kind of conversation. And we hadn't really touched his paper at all, because, as you know, I take these podcasts and I pair them with the paper. Mm-hmm. So this was like a whole new set of information, a very interesting set of information that we recorded in, you know, 5 or 10 minutes that will pare down to be about 5 or 6 minutes that, you know, you could listen to as you're downloading and printing out the paper, right, to get you kind of excited about the paper. And then, you know, you could read the paper and get a completely different set of information.
Mm-hmm. And the great thing, too, probably, I mean, it sounded like it really, you know, it struck what he's passionate about and what he genuinely believes. And, you know, that's the other thing I found so interesting, is that people can tell when people are really excited and they believe in something and they're passionate about it. They can tell either you are or you're not. And I think some of the questions we all, you know, we used to ask, we didn't strike that sort of passion in people. And I think our customers could sense that.
Definitely. Definitely. Well, Lois, thank you again for your time. I appreciate it. And for those of my listeners who haven't read the book or would like to find out more about the book, please go to foghound.com/beyondbuzz, one word. And thank you for listening.